Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Banca Transilvania Q3 2018 results conference call. Our hosts today are Ömer Tetik, CEO, George Călinescu, CFO, Mihaela Nădășan, Deputy CEO, Head of FI&M and IR, Luminița Runcan, CRO. Sir, madam, please go ahead.
Hello, this is Ömer Tetik here from Banca Transilvania. Thank you for joining us at the call, where we want to present you the third quarter results and also discuss about our, let's say, recent developments, maybe few items until the end of the year. It is definitely a challenging period for Banca Transilvania because we are in full steam continuing the integration of Bancpost, and so far all the indications with all the streams that we are following show that as planned and as approved by the shareholders of the bank at the general shareholders assembly, we will be merging two entities at the end of the year so that 2019 will continue as a single entity in Romania, the single big bank in Romania. Due to my travel schedule, unfortunately, I couldn't reach back to Cluj. In order to avoid technical issues and echoes in the sound system, I would like to leave the floor to Mihaela when she will present our presentation, which is already uploaded at the website of Banca Transilvania. I'm here also listening and also hopefully answering your questions if there will be any. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Indeed, we do have the presentation. It should be available on our website in the investor relations section. My colleagues from marketing were just confirming that it should be there. Hopefully you have the possibility to access it. As Ömer was mentioning, the third quarter meant for Banca Transilvania both continuing the organic growth and continuing the integration with Bancpost, including obtaining all kind of additional approvals in order to have the legal merger by the year-end. In terms of how the market was having the evolution, we may say that we were having a relatively good year 2018 for overall the banking sector in the country, with positive results both in terms of total balance sheet growth for the banking sector and also with regard to the profitability level of the banks in the country. Meaning that somehow the cycle of, let's say, very aggressive write-offs in terms of cleaning the balance sheet and in terms of making sure that the quality of the loan books is the right one, was coming to an end. The economy, even though there are all kind of, let's say, political noises around, is doing relatively well, so that the banking sector has, in general, all kind of recoveries related to the quality of the loan book they are managing. The same was valid also for Banca Transilvania when it comes to both the third quarter results and as, let's say, behavior at whole year level. Important to mention that during the third quarter, we have seen growth in terms of the loan book of the banking sector in the country across the business lines, meaning that both retail and corporate were having additional loan demand in the country. Let's say main growth driver remains nevertheless the housing loan product, which both for BT and for the banking sector was having a very decent evolution this year. The trend of continuing the growth in local currency lending also continued, so that for the end of September, the balance sheet, the loan book, in fact, of the banking sector is composed in two-thirds of local currency exposures and just one-third remained in local currency. This is really the opposite of the situation which was at the end of 2010 as structure of the loan book in Romania, in the banking sector in Romania. In terms of overall macroeconomic development, Romania still kept a decent growth in terms of GDP, clearly not as, let's say, high or as positive as it was in 2017, but on the other hand, well-balanced and somehow sustainable on the long term, or on a mid-term at least, with levels around 4.5% growth on a yearly basis. Clearly, we are paying a lot of attention to, let's say, different macro ratios, which were no longer that balanced as they used to be like 2-3 years ago, meaning the current account deficit is for sure one of the items at which the banking sector and the economists in general are paying attention. In terms of inflation, things were somehow settling down so that the target of having it at less than 4% on a whole year level seems to be achievable for Romania. Also, in terms of the exchange rate, we have seen that the exchange rate euro local currency was quite well kept under control, varying with small having small variation compared to other currencies in the region. If we are moving to Banca Transilvania's results on a standalone basis when it comes to the first 9 months of the year, and we would, let's say, go through the major points which are part either of the profit and loss account or of the balance sheet of Banca Transilvania, we would like to highlight the fact that in terms of net interest income, the third quarter was somehow bringing the net interest income at the highest level compared to previous quarters, thinking that, in fact, the loan book came to a revaluation at least for two of the interest rate hikes which were taking place when it comes to the local currency. In terms of expenses in terms of the cost of funding, we have seen a slight increase in the third quarter, evolution which was anticipated by us also in previous presentation we were having, so that on, let's say, on a whole year basis, we consider that the net interest margin is going to stay around 3.4-3.5%, and this level should be sustainable mid-term as well. In terms of the fee and commission income, the double-digit growth we were anticipating for this year was validated by the evolution we were having in the first 9 months of the year, so more or less we are comfortable with the cross-sell we were achieving and with the, let's say, turnovers which were routed through our accounts, so that BT was able to have another quarter with a nice and decent growth when it comes to the fee income. If we would, let's say, jump on the expense side of the P&L, what is important is that we are noticing a flattish kind of evolution when it comes to the operational expenses. And if we are looking at the quarter expenses with staff, we may see that compared to the third quarter of last year, we have in fact a decrease of the total staff expenses in the third quarter of this year. So again, what we were saying in previous discussions and conference calls, the huge jump was more or less seen during 2017 and the first quarter of 2018, and now we are coming to somehow a linearity when it comes to the evolution of the operating expenses. In terms of the cost of risk on BT standalone basis, again, recoveries were higher than the expense with the provisions. The cost of risk, just considering, let's say, gross expenses, was for BT, again, somewhere between 70 and 80 basis points. But with the recoveries, we are coming to a positive result when it comes to the cost of risk. Important to mention is that even though we were somehow estimating that the cost-income ratio is going to be more or less closer to 48-49%, due to several one-offs linked to the integration program with Bank Post, which are already, let's say, booked also in BT on a standalone basis. We are, however, at a slightly more comfortable level of below 47% for the end of the third quarter of 2018. In terms of the capital adequacy ratio, again, very decent and very sound levels, with a core Tier 1 capital ratio with profit included in the range of 18.8% and with a total capital ratio of 23%. Clearly, on consolidated basis, considering the investment in Bancpost, the core Tier 1 is, let's say, by 200 basis points lower than what standalone is meaning. When we are looking at the loan structure and at the loan evolution per business line, we may say that both, let's say, parts of our loan book, meaning households and companies, were having a decent evolution this year, a quite good one, in fact, when it comes to the retail side, where we were reaching at the end of September a total outstanding amount of 18 million lei, while on the company side we are at 16.6 million lei. In terms of currency structure, the same structure is preserved with the majority of the loans in local currency, around 80% in local currency and the rest in foreign currency, clearly mainly euros. Maybe it's important to mention here that during the third quarter we were having the conversion program of the Swiss franc exposures which Bancpost were having. They were totaling slightly less than 100 million Swiss francs as total exposures. Half of them were converted during this third quarter and they were also moved to Banca Transilvania. So that when you are going to look in our presentation, you will see that on the retail side, we have a contribution of exposures coming from Bancpost due to this conversion program of around 200 million lei, so around 50 million Swiss francs. Half of those exposures which were in Bancpost in Swiss francs were converted into local currency in line with the, let's say, plan we were having in terms of offering to Bancpost clients a similar program as we were offering to Volksbank clients 3 years ago. When we are speaking about the evolution of the retail business line in the bank, besides the nice growth we were having in terms of loan book, it's important to manage the good results we are having in terms of the card business, where we are managing more than 3.2 million cards and we are having a market share of about 19-20%, while in terms of total transactions performed with our cards, we are having a market share, in fact, of around 30% of the market. In terms of the SME business line, there we are continuing with our specific focus and special attention we are paying to this category of clients. And again, besides the growth we are having there in terms of loan exposure, we were coming to the market with the first non-banking solutions platform for SMEs, the so-called BT Store, where our clients can have access to different services and products which are important for their businesses and for the development of their businesses. Regarding the corporate loan book, here, as you know, we are in fact speaking about larger SMEs in the country, so not the really big corporates, which usually the banks are presenting as corporate clients. We continue with the very dispersed approach in that respect, having the average ticket size still below 200,000 euros. We are paying a lot of attention when it comes to the sectorial specialization, trying to come with tailored products and with the right analysis style when it comes to the different industries and the different segments of the economy we are addressing. We continue with a specific focus on everything what agriculture and the food businesses meaning in Romania. This would be shortly with regard to what Banca Transilvania was doing during the third quarter of this year. I'm not sure, maybe Omer would like to add some additional remarks to my speech here, and then we may switch to the Q&A session.
Thank you, Mihaela. As you mentioned, I mean, we are really glad that during our integration of a large bank in of two large banks in Romania, we have managed to maintain our organic growth, and positive. We are increasing both number of customers, but also our cross sell, our FX, our fees and commissions incomes growing further in a very healthy balance sheet. But also, I would like to mention that we had been very active after launching our wallet, BT store, developing our mobile banking application. So we are also in the road to become a reference point in Romania in terms of digitalization and using technology for convenience of customers. We have very good feedback about this from the market as well. So it seems that it is so far a good year, and we are going to assure that both while finishing the year in the same manner, we will also create a good base for the future growth, because Bancos customers are now visiting our branches. They are getting their cards, their account numbers, and getting their first contact with BT for the moment. And we think that we see a huge cross-sell base among this almost 700,000 clients. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. We have a question from the participants whose line ends by 5156. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone, this is Robert Jozan. I'm from PQBP Securities Warsaw. I have three quick questions. One on the development with regard to corporate deposit base. I've noticed that on the standalone basis these have gone down a little bit. So my question is about the reason, and also how do you see, where do you see the deposit, the average deposit rate going in this rate environment? The second question is about the outlook for operating costs, particularly for the remainder of the year, and particularly in the light of the ongoing restructuring and merging processes. So that's my second question. And finally, if you could please comment briefly on the developments on the NPL ratio, which has increased in on an annual basis. What was the reason for that, and where do you see the NPL ratio and the absolute level of NPLs going forward? Thank you.
You are very welcome. So I'm going to start with your first question with regard to the corporate deposit base. So on a yearly basis, usually the fourth quarter bring a lot of additional liquidity to the banking sector, a lot of state-related payments are happening, so that usually December means a much more larger deposit base coming on the corporate business line compared to the other quarters of the year. So that's more or less a cyclical kind of growth. And usually the first quarter is already meaning an eating up, let's say, of part of that excess liquidity which is hitting the banking sector at the year end. In terms of the average, in terms of the average interest rates to be considered for the deposits going forward, we are more or less thinking or seeing it at a blended rate around 1%, clearly combining current accounts and different maturities, which are specific for the banking sector in the country, plus the different currency structure. In terms of your second question with regard to the, if I was getting it correctly, you were asking about the additional expenses related to the restructuring of and the integration of Bankpost, yes?
Yes, correct. Whether anything okay. you would say?
In that respect, we are not in the position to provide more information than what was already published on our website. When we were having the general shareholders meeting mid of October, with regard which was approving the merger proposal. So more or less, you can find there some hints with regard to what is to be expected for the whole year. So until now, there were just limited amounts being booked in BT, some of them being booked in Bankpost, but the majority of them will definitely follow at the year end. And like a general thought in that respect is the fact that the cost-income ratio is expected to be somewhere in the range of 52-53%, considering those one-offs at the end of the year. Then when it comes to the third question you were having, the development of the NPLs, you should also look at what EBA NPE ratio is meaning. Indeed, in our presentation, it's not to be found, but you can find it in our press releases. And there we are having, in fact, the decrease. So the small increase, which was with regard to the PAR 90, it's not, a sign of any change in terms of trends. It was, an occasional kind of situation with regard to that portfolio overdue more than 90 days. But if we are speaking about the, new definition of NPLs, which is this EBA-defined NPE ratio, there the bank was continuing the trend of decreasing the ratio, and it was at 5.7% at the end of the third quarter of 2018.
Excuse me, 5.7% on a standalone or consolidated basis?
It's on a standalone basis. On a consolidated basis, I don't have now the figure. It's on a standalone basis.
Right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the participant whose line ends by 0200. Please introduce yourself before you ask your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Katalin Diakonu from Raiffeisen Bank. I have a couple of questions. The first one would be, I estimated from the results that there was a large provision, so a large cost of risk booked in the third quarter on Bankpost. Could you say what meant and if we should expect something like that in the coming quarters? And also another question would be if there were some significant or sizable gains from the revaluation of the Volksbank loans hidden somewhere in the interest income in the third quarter. Thank you.
So just to synchronize with Omer, who is going to answer? Omer, would you like to answer or should I continue?
Go ahead, Mihaela, because I'm not alone here.
Okay, so when it comes to Bankpost, I was mentioning that we were having the conversion program. So part of the provisions are coming from that conversion as we were applying, again, a discount to Bankpost clients prior to having the conversion being done. That's one thing. The second thing is that when we were more or less coming with the price we had on that transaction, and we were paying just 75% price to book or 74% price to book for the bank. Clearly, we were having in mind some additional provisions which were to be considered for some of the exposures there, where we felt that we would like to have a higher coverage ratio. That was also happening. So from this point of view, we were not having surprises or negative surprises. They were just in line with the strategic approach we were having, both when having the due diligence and when rolling out the conversion program for Bank Post clients. Could you please repeat the second question, as I'm not... I think it was with regard to how the net interest margin at group level was having the evolution. Also there, we do have some one-offs related to the way in which the PPA is having the result in the end, again, with regard to the quality of Bank Post clients. And in some cases, we are having a negative effect on the cost of risk on some clients, and on other clients, we have a positive effect on the net interest income, to the extent the auditors doing the PPA were considering that the quality of some exposures were better than in Bank Post books. So clearly at group level and with regard to Bank Post, there are several one-offs which in the end are not having a negative effect on the bottom line, but they are creating some distortions at different lines within the P&L account.
Could you give us a rough guidance regarding this one-off at the net interest income level from Bank Post?
So for the end of September, I don't have the figure. For the end of June, it was somewhere like 180 million. But more or less, it might be very similar for the end of September as well. So the granularity of the analysis was not that, I'm not yet having all the details with regard to all the granular items at the consolidated level.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you as well.
We have a question from the participant whose line ends by 2200. Please introduce yourself before you ask a question.
Hi, it's Haitai from Concord Securities. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear.
Okay, so thanks for your presentation. Just a couple of questions from my side. So one of them would be like, what was the one-off in terms, as you explained already, on the NII side, but what was the one-off on the provision side due to the integration? That would be my first question. And the second question would be that now, I think in the last couple of years, you acquired a couple of banks and they were quite successful. Are you happy with that, or shall we expect that you are looking for any other targets still? And whether it should have an effect on dividend policy moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, so I would take the first question, and then the strategic one should be answered by our CEO to the extent he's able to do it. So in terms of integration-related provisions, some, amounts were considered when it comes to staff-related expenses, but they are rather limited compared to the overall figure we should see at the year-end. So provisions are booked, but with regard to the quality of the loan book and to the different way in which in the PPA the quality was considered versus what Bank Post was having in its books. So not so much integration-related. Omer, do you have the chance to say?
Sorry, so on the cost of risk side, you said that most of the increase in the third quarter was due to the integration, or am I missing something?
No, I was mentioning that it was linked to the PPA, not integration like integration expenses, but the valuation of the loan book of Bank Post. So not restructuring related, but loan book valuation related, some one-offs being in terms of cost of risk, some one-offs being in terms of increase in the net interest margin.
Okay. Okay, and did you have any reversals in the period, so any write-backs or major releases?
So on BT, on a standalone basis, clearly they were releases, considering that after a cost of risk of around 80 basis points, we were ending the quarter with a positive figure in terms of, so not with expenses, but with income, while at group level, clearly recoveries were not as high as the expenses. So we had the net expense when it comes to the cost of risk.
Okay, thank you.
So as regard to the second question, as we said, while we are focused on integration with Bankpost, we are not looking around and we don't see any, let's say, valuable transaction for us. For the any future targets, although there are more rumors than real processes in the market, and I guess it will prevail like this for a while, definitely our optics have changed. Now, as compared to pre-Volksbank acquisition, we have almost four times more customers, three times bigger balance sheet. So I think we have also a great chance of growing our cross-sell opportunities and making more business with the existing customers. Meanwhile, preparing, looking some kitchen house cleaning within the bank in terms of improving our applications, platforms, processes, both for our employees and for our customers. Definitely, if you look at our balance sheet, our equity position, our liquidity gives a signal that we are well prepared if there will be any significant opportunity. But also, again, as compared to 2013, when we had below 8% market share and were interested even in banks with 0.5% market share, I don't think in the near future we will be, unless it brings exceptional bargaining gain, bad will, we will not be interested in small banks. I think we are proving already that every quarter, every semester, we are growing as big as a small bank, our own balance sheet. In terms of the dividend policy, we are reiterating that we don't have yet a discussion or approval from the shareholders, and this should be decided at the General Shareholders Assembly. But on the other hand, as long as our budget perspectives, the market conditions will allow us, and there are no opportunities ahead of us in terms of acquisitions, I think we will maintain a generous cash dividend policy as well. Just I also don't think that in the very near future there will be banks to be bought at a big premium that would impact our capital position. But I repeat, there are no discussions in which Banca Transilvania is involved in banking system.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the participant whose line ends by 8106. Please introduce yourself before you ask a question. Dear participant, your line is open.
Hello, this is Cosmin Paraskiv. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm Cosmin from NN Pensii. I have a more specific question to start. Looking at the financial statements and comparing 2017 with H1 2018, I noticed the following. Available for sale assets were around 15.8 billion in 2017. In 2018, there are zero, but it seems they moved to assets at fair value to other comprehensive income, which are now 19.4 billion. It seems like there is some sort of reclassification in place. I also see that there were barely no losses recognized in 2017 for available for sale, but about 340 million RON losses are seen in reserves of assets measured at fair value to other comprehensive income now in 2018. So my questions are the following. First, can you explain the reclassification that took place? And second, if you can detail how come you didn't have barely any losses in available for sale in 2017, and now the losses appear in the fair value to other comprehensive income account in H1.
Cosmin George here. The reclassification is due to the implementation of IFRS 9. There are no longer available for sale instruments in the new framework of IFRS 9. So all the instruments we had to be reclassified according to the new categories that are for IFRS 9 reporting, but they're the same instruments. Nothing happened to them. So if you look at our main categories of available for sale instruments that you've seen last year, now you see them in instruments that are valued at fair value through other elements of through the equity. So
in fact, the situation is exactly the same. They are functioning and they are booked, and the whole accounting is exactly in the same way as previously, only that the name changed, and clearly there are some small, let's say, amendments which are linked to IFRS 9 specific way of doing the accounting. And then with regard to the impact in the P&L, clearly to the extent we are not, let's say, doing any kind of real market transaction, but we are just marking them to market with an impact in equity, we cannot have losses in the P&L. So that loss could be booked only to the extent a transaction would happen with a loss. But with the liquidity position we are having and with the structure of the T-bills we are having, where in case of a liquidity problem we clearly can have repo transactions or any kind of other ways in which we can raise liquidity without the need to sell these T-bills, we can't have an impact in the P&L, but with that a real loss, but we definitely have them marked to market on a daily basis through the equity, and the level of this impact is seen on a quarterly basis when we are having the reporting. End of the second quarter, this impact was more or less almost double compared to the level which was now valid for the end of September, considering how the interest rates were having the evolution in the market and how the structure of our T-bills portfolio was also changing over time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We have a new question. Please introduce yourself before your question.
Hello?
Yes, please.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, hi there. So Gabriel here from Fidelity. I just had a quick question on loan losses. Obviously, you sort of explained what was going on in the third quarter. But in terms of the, you know, underlying level of cost of risk that you sort of expect going forward, given that we've had a material increase in market rates, you know, do you expect that number to still be around 100 basis points in 19, or you know, that number will be going up? And then my second question was on the NII. Can you just again clarify the one-off in the NII? Is that only visible in the consolidated numbers and not on the bank-only numbers? So if we look at the bank-only numbers, is that a clean clean comparison year-on-year?
Yes, I will start with the second question. Indeed, that one-off kind of situation is just related to the consolidated situation and not to the standalone financial P&L. When it comes to the loan losses, yes, we are keeping the same expectation when it comes to 2019, even though, as you said, the interest rates were going up over the last couple of quarters. However, still the interest rate environment is very low compared to where the interest rate was a couple of years ago. So more or less our previous statements that when it comes to the through-the-cycle level of cost of risk according to this IFRS 9 approach, we are maintaining the same, approach and the same expectation that it will vary around 100 basis points. Currently, it is at 70-80 basis points. But yeah, the economy might have a slightly different path in the near future. So that's why we were more conservative with the levels we were considering, saying that the 100-110 basis points is, let's say, the level to be expected through the cycle.
Okay, and then my just further question to that is just on the cost-income ratio. You know, obviously you're going to have some one-off exceptional costs in Q4. Maybe you could again clarify what you'd said on that. And second of all, you know, looking out into next year when the synergies start to come through more fully, what kind of cost-income ratio can we potentially be expecting?
So we were mentioning also during this call that we expect the cost-income ratio to be at the year-end, including the majority of the integration costs, to be somewhere in the range of 52-53%. And then there are going to still remain some small amounts or some smaller, let's say, items to be booked in the next 1 year, so that for mid of 2020, we expect that the cost-income ratio is going to be back below 50%. George?
No.
Yeah, so this is, yeah, the CFO is confirming.
Are you able to give a sort of a more precise number than below 50?
So definitely we are going to target to bring it as quickly as possible to around 47-48. Expectations or like budget proposal is going to be that 2020 should be with the cost income ratio at 48%.
Okay, thank you very much.
Actually, if you look at the presentation later when you have time, you will also see that the numbers are already close to 47% on an individual basis when we take out the impact of integration, bank cost, and all our, let's say, subsidiaries, so that we are comfortable. That's why, as Mihaila said, we should be back to 47-48% next year as soon as possible. And our long-term target is actually, or medium-term target is below 45%. I would like to tell that we are committed to this at an executive level.
But you should be able to get to a number below your standalone number, because obviously you're getting the synergies, and the standalone numbers obviously don't reflect those. So when you factor in the synergies, shouldn't you be getting to a number that's below what we're seeing on the standalone?
But there are also... please, Mihaly.
Sorry, Omer, I was not sure. Please continue, and I'm intervening if needed still. Thank you.
So, but now we are incurring some, let's say, optimization or restructuring costs. That's outside the revenue synergies are being kind of netted off.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
As we are coming close to the moment when the conference should end, we would kindly ask you to address your, let's say, additional 1-2 questions.
Thank you. We have a question from the participant whose line ends by 5156. Please introduce yourself before you ask the question.
Again, Robert Brzoza from PKWP Securities. I have one more detail, hopefully, to clarify regarding the one-offs that you said were present. On one hand, a positive in the net interest income, on the other hand, the negative in provisioning line. My question is, should we expect those additional figures to be repeated in subsequent quarters, or was it only restricted to the third Q, and then we're going to see, let's call it, normalized levels of both NII and provisioning? Thank you.
So you are going to see it also for the end of the year, so for all the quarters in which we are having the consolidation with Bancpost, you are going to see them. Once we have the merger done, the integration done, so starting with the first quarter of 2019, you are no longer going to see them.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Our following question comes from the participant whose line ends by 0618. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Tunde from Haddon-Lovner here. One question for me is, can you give a figure for the profit or loss from Bankpost in Q3?
To be honest, I don't have it now in front of me. So we could come back to you with that one, but it's definitely not relevant when it comes to, let's say, their capacity or the way in which the activity is could take place there, meaning that clearly their balance sheet is way smaller compared to their operational platform. We were already having all kind of, let's say, restructuring costs there, plus clearly in terms of, let's say, business growth, we were stopping all the business growth there. So in terms of revenue generation, they were more or less just surviving and making the whole preparation to migrate to Banca Transilvania. Also in terms of new leads, in fact, they were just shifting as much business as possible to Banca Transilvania already. So that's why the figure which would be in Bankpost wouldn't be relevant at all when it comes to what their balance sheet is going to be contributing in the future to the P&L of BT.
Yeah, I understand that. I was just wondering if it was a loss position in a quarter or if it was a profit. I think my question was more.
It was a small profit. It was a small profit, that's for sure, but a clearly insignificant one.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you as well.
We have a question.
Go ahead. I just wanted to ask our boss if he still has time to stay in the call with us and how to handle the conference call further.
I guess I will need to catch my flight now, but the idea is that if there are any further questions, we can definitely take them through our investors' relation address, website, or you can contact us directly. Mihaela, maybe we take one more question, not to just rush things, but otherwise in a few minutes I have to run away.
Okay, thank you. So then the last question, please.
Yes, the last question. Please introduce yourself before you raise your question.
Hello, hi. Yeah, just one further question from me. Can you just quantify the one-off in the Q3 NII?
So the one related to Bankpost was of around 200 million lei.
In just Q3? Is that right? That's only.
It was no. It was in total, meaning let's say P&L wise. So for it's not like just the Q3 impact. It's like the impact for the second and the third quarter.
Okay.
The second quarter it was like 150, and now it's like 200 and a little bit.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have no other questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Thank you very much for being with us on the call. I hope we've managed to answer most of your questions. But as I said, please do not refrain. If you have further information needed, contact Mihaela or her team, and we will try to get back to you as soon as possible. Looking forward to hearing each other again. And for the ones, although it's quite early, for the ones that we will not be able to talk again, I wish you happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and hope that everybody will have a good start to a new year.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.